Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. Well, you've seen the headlines on biznews.com, watched and listened to the interviews on BizNews TV and BizNews Radio. So now let's talk about what the latest developments mean for your money. This is the Editor's Desk exclusive analysis for BizNews Premium members. Today is Friday, the 9th of January, 2026. Glad to have you with me. If you head along to the BizNews website, you'll see under the Broadcast tab, we've got a new tab. It's called Members Only. I know this is going to be very popular among many members of the tribe. Reason is that up until now, if you just go onto YouTube, onto the BizNews channel on YouTube, you'll see a Members Only channel, but you can only access it if you pay another $20 or something to be a YouTube member. Now, why we've done this is that there's a huge audience that accesses our videos on YouTube, 280,000 subscribers there, and we wanted to build something special there, a little premium option, but nothing terribly serious. You can subscribe to the full package via YouTube, and that's another way of doing it, but really to get a chunk of those 280,000 people to get something extra than the videos that they already receive. So we have a members-only section, which they can access. And, there are a few thousand already members who've actually gone in there, paying their $20 and then seeing the members-only section. But, of course, it's terribly frustrating if you are a BizNews Premium member, full BizNews Premium member, as you are, because they don't get this this special podcast, the Editor's Desk, only you do. And you go onto YouTube and you click on Members Only and you can't get in. So what we've done is we've now added that onto the website. So if you want to see any Members Only video or audio for that matter, go onto the website, go onto the Broadcast tab, and at the bottom you'll see it says Members Only. You click on that and you will also pick up that. Today we have a brand new podcast for you which stars Michael Lewis, who's the greatest financial writer in the world today, and Michael Burry, who some people think is the greatest hedge fund manager in the world today. Michael Burry was made famous during the book of Michael Lewis's called The Big Short, and then the movie thereof, where he and others accurately predicted the meltdown in 2008, the global financial crisis, and not just predicted it, but bet on it and bet heavily on it. Well, Michael Burry has been interviewed by Michael Lewis, and this is a very rare thing. Apart from this interview, which is to commemorate the 10-year anniversary of the writing of The Big Short, it is of the movie of The Big Short, because The Big Short would have come back closer to 2008. But to commemorate that, Michael Burry and Michael Lewis had this interview. Burry just doesn't get interviewed. He tells us a couple of times in the interview that he is autistic and doesn't really like people. But you will find his insights fascinating. And amongst the insights that he has, as he says, this whole switch towards passive investing is incredibly dangerous for stock markets. He explains why. He also has a go at Palantir. One other thing, there have been some of these secondhand commentators who have now picked up on news articles or news reports on Michael Burry. I'm sure they haven't listened to this podcast because it's done by by Michael Lewis and then done by the Financial Times, which is why we have the rights to rerun it. They then put up their own YouTube videos to say, watch out, because this guy's bet $200 million on the market collapsing. Well, it's not the case at all. He's bet, I think it's $2 million on very far out of the money put options. Anyway, I won't get into detail and confuse you, but go and listen to that. You can watch it as well if you want to on the back end there. Also on Premium today, another very famous fellow, Elon Musk, he has, I follow him on Twitter or X, and he has been giving South Africa quite a lot of his attention lately. And we have a piece here by My Broadband where they have taken the relevant tweets and put it together into an article. And Musk says to the world and to his gazillion subscribers that if he were black, there would have been no problem. Starlink would have been in South Africa. But because he's white, he and Starlink are banned from operating in the country. Now, that's interesting. It's an interesting claim. And it has also picked up quite a lot of interest in our country on Twitter, on X. What Elon tweeted was that there for 140 laws in South Africa that basically give strong preference to you if you are a black South African and not otherwise. And he says there are more laws that favor blacks than those laws that favored whites during apartheid. Yo, Starlink is not allowed to operate in South Africa because I'm not black. I think there's more to it, Elon. I think there's a lot more to it. The incumbents are fueling the lobbying very aggressively because if Starlink comes in, it's not going to be very good for Vodacom, MTN, and Cell C. Not good at all. They are currently charging rates which would have to be slashed with the entrance of Starlink. There are also many people in South Africa who desperately want Starlink. Among them, anybody who wants to give people in the rural areas a fair chance at becoming internationally competitive. Starlink has offered to invest 500 million rand in providing free high-speed internet to 5,000 rural schools. Now, if you're a parent of a child in one of those rural schools, or indeed if you're a teacher there, this is a game changer for you. So why wouldn't you want them to come in? Aren't you MTN and Vodacom doing the same thing? But Elon Musk is playing his game. 90% of the people who, according to this article from My Broadband, who were asked in a survey whether what Starlink is trying to do, not give, be forced to give 30% of the equity to these politically connected friends of the ANC through the so-called BEE program, but to give that the value of that 30% in other ways, including this 500 million that would go to rural schools. 90% of South Africans say, for sure, let's do it. Let's stop making the elite richer. Let's start spreading a little bit of the love. Anyway, we'll see how that whole thing pans out. But clearly at BizNews, we love the idea of making it a level playing field. That's what we stand for. And we love the idea of those who've been left behind simply because they happen to have been born in an area that has not got the advantages that the first world country has got, and that they could get those advantages as well. Can you imagine? You're sitting in Matatene in near Newcastle and you don't have access to the internet, and you can now suddenly, through Starlink at your school, get access to AI. Imagine the leap that you could have in your development, in your opportunities. Another piece that we have is from The Economist, where there's a leader that says, watch out for what Donald Trump has done with the acquiring of Nicolas Maduro and with it the right to handle the richest oil fields in the world. They do point out in the introduction that for a dozen years, Maduro, to use The Economist's word, terrorized Venezuela. Listen to this. He stole elections, and when people objected, his goons killed, raped, or tortured them by suffocation with plastic bags. His comrades looted and mismanaged the economy so wantonly that GDP fell by 69%. A quarter of the population fled abroad. Both the economic collapse and the exodus have been worse than is typical during the bloodiest of civil wars. That's an extraordinary statement from a very sober publication that's been around for, well, a couple of hundred years. But they still say that what has happened, or the way that Donald Trump has reacted in the wake of extricating Maduro and putting him into a New York jail on the charges of drug running, is wrong. Trump has backed, it appears, Maduro's underlings, and he has ignored the fact that Venezuela have an opposition leader who would have walked the 2024 election, by all accounts, who has been good enough to get a Nobel Prize, Maria Corina Machado. He ignores her, and he says she lacks support. It's a really good leader, and I suggest you go and have a look at that rather than making the comments and picking up on ideas or headlines which don't look at all sides of the story. Trump may not have done a bad thing by getting Maduro out, but what he's done subsequent to that, the Economist argues, has been really dumb. And then just to close off with, we've got the exclusive story from the Financial Times of London, which has shaken the mining world, this to say that Rio Tinto is now looking to engineer the proposal of a merger with Glencore, which would create a $260 billion giant, the biggest mining company in the world. It goes back to what happened in 2024 when Glencore tried to engineer the deal with Rio Tinto. Now it looks like Rio's are actually making the running on this one. And that was a story in the FT, which we have republished under license, as we do. They're our partners on Biz News this morning. But I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep your eye on the premium newsletter. There are links to fabulous stories. There's one on Manchester United, another one on South Africa's naval drills and the risks that that's bringing, especially in this might is right world that we're going into. And Simon Lincoln Reader, what a fabulous satirist this man is. He writes about the Robben Island narco state that he has ambitions to create. And he says all he needs is the support of Brett Herron from the Good Party. Great piece. Go and have a read. Thank you for trusting us with your time. I'm Eilik Haag. Until Monday, cheerio.